Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Boy, these are tough lyrics. Whoever wrote this song.
Let's all go to the lobby.
And get ourselves.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
A treat. I got a treat. I went to the movie last night and saw that Wonder. Got one large popcorn and a drink. $75. I'm kidding, but it was half that for tickets. And I'm not kidding. Like $38 for three tickets and one popcorn and a soda.
Did you get butter on that popcorn?
I usually do, but I didn't last night. And that's not really butter. That's Penn's oil. Have you ever looked at that stuff?
Yep.
You ever seen it come out of the dispenser?
Yes.
That's motor oil. That is motor oil if I ever saw it.
Oh, that's good.
I didn't because I put on a couple of pounds, and the folks at MD Health and Wellness told me how to lose weight. And one of the ways is don't get that butter on there, so I did not. It's time to talk about movies, whether they're in the form of DVDs now or they're still in the theaters or maybe an occasional television show with our next host. Of our next segment brought to you by Window World. Window World is the number one selling replacement window in the United States for several good reasons. A couple of them are the lifetime warranty and the good housekeeping seal of approval. Would you please give it up, courtesy of Window World, for Dan Buffa.
Good to be here. How are you doing? Now, I must say, before I get into my movie segment, you've seen a movie before I have, for the second time since I've been doing this. This is,
well,
whoa.
I didn't do anything to ruin it for you. You don't have, you are about to have a child. You don't have kids yet, do you?
I have a six-year-old.
Okay, you do. It's Taylor Nickerson who's getting ready to have his first child. Well, if you have a six-year-old, you will, I think, love this movie. And hopefully after you watch it, you'll make sure that starting now, you train your child to never make fun of other kids. So, it's not the greatest movie I've ever seen, but I'm going to tell you, it should be mandatory viewing, I think, for people with kids and for kids. Kids who are old enough to get the message. I don't mean three-year-olds, but any kid, I would say 10 or older. Because this boy in the movie is entering fifth grade. And I watched an interview with Julia Roberts. And in the interview, she talks about fifth and sixth grade as being a really difficult transitional grade for kids. As soon as she said it, I thought back to when I was in the fifth grade. And it was fifth grade when I got my glasses. And most kids in class didn't wear glasses. And I had really thick glasses. And it was very awkward and difficult. And that is when you're not in middle school or high school or even you're still a grade schooler, but now you're getting older and bigger and you don't feel like a little third grader. You're fifth, sixth grade. And it's when I think kids really start to be cruel and mean. It's fifth or sixth grade. So anxious to see what you think about it after you do watch it. What do you have for us?
Well, I have movie reviews, but a lot of stuff comes out this week. A small indie film called Star Wars, The Last Jedi, comes out on Thursday night. People have been anticipating this movie for a long time, and I wanted to ask the room, as I do with popular films, I did with Halloween movies and Thanksgiving flicks, what is the room's favorite Star Wars flick? Mine is Return of the Jedi. Do we have Star Wars fans in the room?
Mine would be the first one.
Mine was the first one, too.
The very first one.
The only one I've seen is the first one.
Okay.
That was as long ago as whenever it came out. That's how long ago it was. I don't know.
78.
Yeah, I don't know one thing about Star Wars. I never saw another
one. A lot of people say Empire Strikes Back. For me, it's Return of the Jedi. That's when it all came together. You know, the whole plot came together. You know, Luke going back against Vader. But Empire Strikes Back. Well, this film is the eighth film in the franchise. Of course, they go back. Last year, Rogue One came out. That was a prequel to the 78 film. And, I'll give more about that movie next week because, you know, I don't know, being a film critic, they put embargoes on you to where they go, you can't talk about this movie at all.
Or what?
Or you get shot on sight.
Oh yeah.
There's a sniper scope on me right now, but I know we'll say that movie comes out. And really, what I'm hearing so far is that it's the best film since Empire Strikes Back, and I will say right now, I disagree with that. And I can give a hint in my review that it's not going to be loved by the Star Wars fanatics. I wasn't blown away by this movie, but of course I will say the disclaimer that I am not a Star Wars hardcore Star Wars fan, but I just kind of left and kind of shrugged my shoulders a little bit. But I'll give more on that next week. We have better films coming out on Friday night. Movies I think you should go see. If you're not a Star Wars fan, or even if you are, there's a movie by Guillermo del Toro coming out called The Shape of Water. And
yeah, this is interesting.
It's an interesting movie, and I had people that told me about it. I didn't know a thing about it when I went into it. I was like, all I heard was it's 1960s, Michael Shannon, it's an underground experiment with the government. They have this creature they are doing experiments on, and this woman, played by Sally Hawkins, who...
There's somebody right there.
As soon as you said Michael Shannon, he goes into his Mike Shannon impression.
I'm telling you. Dan, you're going to love this movie.
Dan Buffett, at all costs, you need to avoid ever saying the name Michael Shannon.
Oh,
because every time you do...
Should I say Newzod?
Newzod.
Yeah, Newzod.
Well, see, there's Michael Shannon, and then there's Mike Shannon.
It's right. Well, see,
what you have to do is find out the actor's middle initial. Like Michael R. Shannon. That way.
M. Shannon.
He could still, in his mind, that's still Mike Shannon.
But Michael Shannon.
The middle initial.
Well, this Mike Shannon does not wear all black in 100-degree game, the Cardinals game in the summer.
Coat.
Maybe if you said Michael Shannon, the actor.
The actor.
Shut him down.
It would be, and now I'm imagining this movie with Mike Shannon in the movie instead of Michael Shannon doing the movie. He'd be like, hey, we had this creature in here.
Is this the same Michael Shannon?
Whoa, hold it.
What was that?
Was that your Mike Shannon impression?
Yeah. Cold Frosty Budweiser.
Oh, man.
No, you don't like it? No? Not good? Not good? Thumbs down?
That's not good. That's an understatement. You don't do that in the room with the master.
See,
is this the same?
Like you break out a harmonica? Would you do that? Would you break out a harmonica with him sitting there? Of course not.
No way.
Of course not.
But Michael Shannon.
Is this the same Michael Shannon that beat himself with a belt on Boardwalk Empire?
Yes.
This is the same.
Yes.
Guy?
Yeah. Yes.
What a Michael Shannon.
He's a great actor.
Essentially plays demented characters.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a call sheet for demented characters. Okay, call Michael Shannon right now. No, he's at the top of the list. And this movie,
because he's got a weird face.
He's a guy in real life. I'm not sure I really want to hang out with this guy alone. If we went on a road trip over 45 minutes, he'd be like, he'd look at me and go, "Oh, hey Dan, what's going on? Like, let me out." But
that FBI agent he played in Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah,
awesome.
What a tremendous character that was.
Nelson, I remember his last
Nelson,
name.
That's right, Nelson.
And remember when he flipped out on Al Capone? And he scared Al Capone in that scene.
If you can scare Al Capone, you're scary.
In this movie, he plays a government agent who is in charge of overseeing the security for this creature. It's 1960, and it's Cold War. And this woman who works there starts having a connection with the creature. And, of course, Michael Shannon, trying to be the utmost soldier in the room, doesn't like this. So she tries to – she basically – it's about a woman falling in love with an amphibian. That's pretty much the plot of this movie. Guillermo del Toro, who I usually not a big fan of, he goes to certain lengths in movies that I'm just – it doesn't really get to me. But this movie is very good. But I urge you – to not watch the trailer, because the trailer gives away way too much.
She falls in love with a fish?
Dan,
a fish,
Dan,
yes. Oh, the girl falls in love with a fish. But I'm telling you,
Dan,
that's the same reaction I had, Tim. Same reaction I had.
I want Dan to reenact the scene from The Shape of Water. Now, Dan, here's the scene.
Okay.
Mike Shannon is telling this woman, "Knock it off. I don't like that you seem to be attracted to this creature." Go ahead.
Okay. Hey! Knock it off over there. I don't like it that you seem to be attracted to this creature.
I don't have to even see the movie. That's pretty good.
I need to get me a... I'm going to have me a handy 48-pack to kick back and watch. Hey, creature, come on out. Baby, come on over here, baby.
And now you have officially listened to a bonus scene from the Shape of Water DVD.
Yeah. You're not going to hear that anywhere else.
No.
Nowhere.
But that comes out. And also, before the break, we were talking about Wonder Wheel. We already have a Wonder in theaters. Now we have Woody Allen's film Wonder Wheel coming out with Kate Winslet, who I really like. She's beautiful. She can act.
She's buxom.
Yes, yeah. And she has really big feet that for most of her career, she didn't let the director film her feet because she has very large feet. This is a fact about Kate Winslet. And then recently, She's kind of
so it's
let
true
up on
then. Big feet, big boobs.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
But, and I heard that.
And also, this film marks the return to cinema of James Belushi. And I'm talking about Red Heat James. I mean, this guy's been gone for how many years? I mean, ever since the maybe even the 80s and the 90s, he was kind of a comedy guy. But he comes back, and he gets to play Kate Winslet's husband. That's when you know it's the movies, is when James
Belushi.
Where's
he been?
I don't know where he's been. I know there's a TV show he does. Maybe he's doing now or he's done in the past few years. But James Belushi is pretty much, he's the guy that called Arnold Gumby back in Red Heat, which was a great movie, great pairing. But in this movie, it's set in the 1950s, and Kate Winslet is kind of like that neglected wife who wants to, who dreams of Hollywood. Her husband works on a Ferris wheel. Justin Timberlake plays a lifeguard who kind of falls in love with
Kate Winslet. He works on a Ferris wheel.
He works on a Ferris wheel.
And he's the operator?
Yeah, he's the operator, and it takes place right off the boardwalk in Atlantic City. And
that's a good, solid job.
And for the movie, look, yeah, really, you basically operate a Ferris wheel and go home to Kate Winslet. That's your job. That's your full life there. But wow, the movie doesn't do much. I mean, it's good to look at because, of course, Kate Winslet's great, and James Belushi, is good to see him back. But the movie, it follows, and you know, movies that follow in familiar threads that were by the end of the movie, you just kind of shrug your shoulders and leave. Nothing else really happens at the end of it. It's kind of predictable. So, yeah. And Woody Allen, he used to be really, really good. But somewhere along the way, I think he may have got tired of his own style and tried to be different.
See, I never liked him. I've never seen one Woody Allen movie.
Early
ever.
Woody Allen is good, but lately, except for maybe Midnight in Paris, it seems like he's just kind of like phoning it in. He's making these movies. He got a great cast for this movie.
He's 82 years old.
He's 82 years old.
When do you stop making movies?
It's him
movies?
And Eastwood. Eastwood's about, isn't Eastwood over 80? Yeah, both those guys still making movies.
You know why? I take that back. When I was a kid, I did see the one where he went, oh, wait, that was Woody Woodpecker.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Same thing, though, whenever he acts.
My Woody's confused.
Did you ever see Everything You Wanted to Know About Sex?
No.
Yeah, I haven't seen
Allen.
That. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I haven't seen one of his movies.
That's
one.
My favorite Woody Allen movie, and only favorite Woody Allen movie. Otherwise, I hate all of them. But that's funny.
Clint Eastwood is 87.
87? He's still making movies, but he's making good ones. American Sniper, really good. But Woody Allen, he's just making these boring, middling. I mean, when you get up from Wonder Wheel, you're just like, I want to go see Wonder. I mean, that's pretty much what you'll do. You want to go see Julia Roberts. This movie was a waste of time. I give that, are we going to do the rating system again? I give that one. One.
I had a chance to interview Clint Eastwood when he turned 80.
You told me this before. Oh. So how was this? How did this go down? Was it a staring contest?
It was by satellite, so I couldn't see him, but I just said, hey, Clint, how does it feel to be 87? I'll play you what he said. I can't stand it. It makes me sick. He used the old Kirk Douglas. See, he used the Kirk Douglas line. I'll play it again. I can't stand it. It makes me sick.
Thank you.
Yeah. I watched it again the other night. Gran Torino. Now, there's a good movie.
That's a good movie.
That's a good Clint Eastwood.
And it proved that he still had... I mean, how old can that guy be and still be a movie star? In that movie, he's so good. Especially when he just goes, get off my lawn.
It's amazing.
Wait, do that again. Do it again. Get off my lawn.
And he has that...
Now, was that a clip or was that you? I couldn't tell. Was that you?
That was me.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was good.
He cast
I'm moving
himself
up in the world.
As an old man. He cast himself as himself at
an
that
old,
age.
Angry
and that's
man.
Why he... Yeah, that's why he was perfect, because that's him.
That was a glimpse into the life of the real Clint Eastwood. He wasn't even playing a character. That was just Clint.
Get off my lawn.
Drinking old beer and going, I hate everybody.
Yeah.
It's basically the whole movie. Yeah.
And he called the neighbors gooks.
Oh, yeah.
I used to stack
that's
you guys like beanbags back in the war.
That's great, Clint. Thanks. This is heartwarming.
The writing is tremendous in that movie.
He wrote it himself, probably. I just tell my own jokes in this movie. But speaking of movies coming out, last week
Clint Eastwood is a lot better than your Mike Shannon.
I'll well, I'm moving up in the world, so you should get better by the end of the segment.
Did
that's
I just
the
say
goal.
That? And Frank just moved
yeah.
on. I just said that.
Look
and
at
Frank
I didn't, I didn't hear it. I didn't
I'm
hear
telling
it.
You, but movie came out last week, Darkest Hour, where Gary Oldman played Winston Churchill.
My wife wants to see this.
You should go see it. It's the best movie that's been released in the last month. It's Oscar season, which means a lot of good movies coming out. But Winston Churchill, Gary Oldman just made it his own. But a story came out today that it took 14 pounds of silicone and foam to transform Gary Oldman, skinny little British dude.
You just said to transform.
Yeah.
Transform Gary Oldman into Winston Churchill. 14
You're broadcasting
pounds.
Now, buddy.
I'm telling you. I'm going up and down, buddy. But 14
You know why
pounds.
I haven't seen it? Because my wife wants to see it. That's why I haven't seen it. Because she has said for 2 weeks, I want to go see that Winston Churchill Darkest Hour. I don't do what she tells me to do. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing she could have said, the worst mistake she could have made is say, I want to see it. Because then I had to say,
but
why don't you shut up?
See, here's
get back
the thing.
In the
Frank,
kitchen and
do
microwave
this, though.
Something.
Do this, what? Though. See, you can tell her, you know what, Dan Buffett told me to say it. Maybe you did so many times, but Dan Buffett told me to say it. So now we're going to go see it. That would make her kind of a little bit angry that you're taking my recommendation. But that would also
great.
Be a win for you.
Thanks.
See?
Thanks, I'll do that.
I'm trying. I'm helping you out here. But in bad casting news...
Get back in the kitchen and thaw something out.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's doing. It's like Will Ferrell in Wedding Crashers when he's yelling at his mom. Give me the meatloaf! I don't know what she's doing back there. She's in there doing something. Seth Rogen's going to play Walter Cronkite, guys.
That's Seth Rogen?
I have to tell you, I don't like Seth Rogen.
He's funny,
I know.
But Walter Cronkite, though.
No.
Why?
I talked to Walter Cronkite just before he died. And before he died, Seth Rogen had come on the scene, and there had actually been some preliminary discussions of having him play Walter Cronkite. I'll play a part of the interview. I said, Mr. Cronkite, how do you feel about Seth Rogen playing you? Here's what he said.
This is Walter Cronkite, reporting live from the Kennedy Space Center. Seth Rogen, I don't like him. I don't think he should play me. And that's the way it is.
There you go. He was not happy.
No.
This is where I really wish I could have been in the room. I want to be in the room at that exact moment that somebody said, that lifted, like, pulled their head up from their laptop and said, hey, how about that guy from Knocked Up playing one of the most influential voices in American history?
Yeah. We'll be shocked. Maybe we'll be very surprised. Maybe he'll do a great job.
Maybe he'll be not the guy, but he'll be Oscar-worthy. Not the person who there is an Oscar-worthy somewhere around in the United States, but maybe he'll be Oscar-worthy and prove us all wrong.
Every once in a while, somebody does that. They play a part, and when you hear who's playing it, you go, oh, that'll never work.
No way.
And
yeah.
It does work. And by the way, Gary Oldman doesn't even, you would never know who that is. If you saw that Churchill character, you go, okay, who is that playing Churchill? You'd never know. The makeup is that good.
Yeah, it's crazy. But in other news this week, there's been rumblings of Marvel taking on the X-Men characters. Like, they've taken everything else. They've taken on Spider-Man, and now they want to take on the X-Men. But Hugh Jackman came out today, and thankfully he said this. He said, I will not be playing Wolverine in the Marvel Avengers movies. And I'm glad, because if you've seen Logan, it was a perfect ending to the character. And if you bring him back, of course, Logan took place many decades in the future, past the events of the Avengers. But I just don't want to see him come back on the screen. I think it would be too much. So I'm glad that Jackman came out today and said, you know what? I look forward to seeing somebody else play the character. He's played him for 17 years.
Wow. If we take a break, can you stick around if we take a break?
Yes, sir.
Because I want to mention this. The Hugh Jackman is in the movie. I saw the trailer last night, based on P.T. Barnum and Ringley Brothers.
Yes, sir. Greatest Showman.
And I want to talk to you about that for a second. But then I also want to mention, I think it was you last week that recommended a movie. And I tried to watch it, and I couldn't get past 20 minutes. It was so bad. I think it was you. We'll get to that in a minute. Do a little business. Limey can play a couple commercials.
I like it.
It is a big tease, so don't go anywhere. MD Health and Wellness, I mentioned earlier that I didn't get butter on my popcorn, because one, I don't think it's butter. I don't know what that is. It's motor oil or something. It's pretty good if you salt it enough, but I didn't have any. Because the people at MD Health and Wellness, when I lost 35 pounds, I realized that what they had done was get me through, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, certainly the first month, that I wasn't able to get through on my own, meaning there's no way, because I tried it on my own, that I could get by and exist, or I didn't think I could exist, on half the calories I normally took in. Less than half. But they help you do that. They have ways to help you do that so that you're just not going insane and feel like you're starving to death. And then once you see 30 pounds gone, 35 pounds gone, in some cases 50, couple of listeners, over 100. Once you get to me, it's 15, 20 pounds. Whew. I'm on the way. Don't stop me now. Nothing's going to stop me. And then what happens with me and anybody else is you get overconfident. You get comfortable thinking, well, this will be the size that I'm going to be for the rest of my life. I'm in 36, 38 pants, no more 42, 44s. I can kind of start eating whatever I want, and you start to do that, and then you gain 5, 6, 7, 8 pounds back, and that's what happened to me twice. And when it does, when I get to the point where I'm just about to cut off the circulation, trying to get my pants snapped together, I know it's time to go back and remember what they taught me, and that is that it's all about calories. So I, for the last 4 days, I've knocked off 5 pounds, 6 pounds in the last 4 days, couple more to go, back where I want to be. Now, if you want to lose a significant amount of weight, I'm not talking to you ladies that go to work and tell your girlfriends at work, I just can't seem to lose 2 pounds. I just gained 3 pounds, four, two. No, this is not what this is about. This is for people who want to lose 25, 30, 50, 60, 70 pounds. And I can't tell you exactly what the program is that you'll be on because everybody's different. Some people have some allergies. Some people have heart conditions and can't take appetite suppressants because those are stimulants. So I don't know what they'll do with you, but they'll do something, and it'll be something that'll work. This is a doctor-supervised program. This is not some franchise that some bored person bought in retirement and said, well, I bought a franchise and I'll sell people packaged foods and tell them they'll lose weight. No, there's two doctors in this building. And they know what they're doing. And you're not going to waltz in there, give them a check or cash, and take some food and leave. You're going to be there for a little while the first visit because they want to make sure they do this right. And it'll be worth whatever amount of time you spend there, an hour, well worth it. MD Health and Wellness. Go to their website. Learn about LipoMelt, not liposuction. I don't care for liposuction. This is LipoMelt, entirely different. Take a look at that, too. And you folks with type 2 diabetes or low T, they'd be happy to talk to you as well. It's MD Health and Wellness. Please let them know that you came over here with us to 590. They need to know that, and they need to hear from you. I'd like to keep them on the air because I like what they do, and I like what they did for me. MD Health and Wellness in Bridgeton, mdhealthwellness.com.
All right, let's get a check on traffic right now. Here's Tori Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Ameren, Missouri Efficient Lighting Program. Eastbound 270 west of West Florissant, injury crash, only one lane getting by. They cleared the incident eastbound 270 at 367. Accident northbound 170 at Scudder. Grand Ramp to westbound 70 an accident. Accident westbound Page at Chute. Southbound 55 south of Gravois, a stall blocking. And your heavy southbound 270 Page to Gravois. Get instant rebates on Energy Star certified LED bulbs from Ameren, Missouri. LEDs use less energy than incandescent bulbs. Buy online at AmerenMissouri.com/shop. I'm Tori Lyons, reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
It takes four essential ingredients to brew Bud Light. Barley, rice, water, and hops. But this is a 30-second commercial. So here's some sound effects of bottles opening. Here's to the beer you can always count on. Brewed to be America's favorite light lager, Bud Light. Famous among friends. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB St. Louis, Missouri.
McBride & Son Homes, Missouri's largest home builder, has a great deal for you this holiday season. Buy a new McBride home in December and get $2,000 to $10,000 in holiday cash for use at closing. McBride also has nearly 100 inventory homes ready for a quick move-in, marked down with tremendous year-end savings. And with nearly 40 communities across Metro St. Louis, there are homes for every price point and in every part of town, so there's no reason to wait. Get $2,000 to $10,000 in holiday cash for use at closing this December only. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details.
Blues Ticket Tuesdays are back again this season at Hot Shots. You can qualify to win a pair of Blues tickets at every Hot Shots during every Tuesday game this season. All you have to do is show up to be entered to win. Cheer on the Blues with awesome food and drink specials, including Bud Family Products, Jack Daniels, Tarasenko Tea, Pareco Bombs, Blues Sampler Appetizers, and more. Hot Shots has been home to Blues fans for over 25 years. Visit HotShotsNet.com for more details.
Hey, St. Louis, the holidays are right around the corner. Are you looking for a place to have a party? Or maybe for someone to cater a party? Maggie O'Brien's does it all. Office parties, retirements, promotions, birthdays, reunions, anniversaries, rehearsals, weddings, Irish wakes. With a banquet room that holds 250 people and catering vans that come to you, there is no party too small or large. Eddie McVeigh here asking you to consider Maggie's. Maggie O'Brien's at the corner of Market and 20th Street downtown. Union Station is next to us.
Listen to this voice. There's no other voice like this. This will put you in a Christmas mood.
Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. Wow. Oh, no matter how far away you roam. When you long for the sunshine. Yeah,
when they say gone too soon, gone too soon.
For the holidays, you can't beat home.
Dan Buffa is with us. He's our movie guy, courtesy of Window World. I think last week you mentioned, was it Logan Lucky or Lucky Lucas Logan? What am I thinking about here?
Logan Lucky was directed by Steven Soderbergh with Channing Tatum and Daniel Craig.
Yeah, after 20 minutes, I'd had enough. I didn't realize it was just a goofy comedy. I thought it was actually going to be an intense drama.
No, it's kind of more of a heist film. Yeah.
Yeah, it's stupid. I bailed on it. I didn't like it. So.
Man.
For what it's worth, and a couple people emailed me, oh, you're going to love Logan Lucky. Is that what it's called? Logan Lucky?
Yeah. At least he gave it a shot. It's actually on Blu-ray and DVD right now.
Yeah, and I think I watched it on demand or something. I rented it for $6 and got 20 minutes out of it. It wasn't for me. I wanted it to be more serious. Once I realized, this is supposed to be funny, but it wasn't funny to me.
Well,
what else was it I mentioned? Something else I wanted to ask you about.
Hugh Jackman in Greatest Showman.
Oh, yeah. We saw the trailer last night when we went to see Wonder. Now, Hugh Jackman is a tall, good-looking, talented guy. He's one of those guys that if you could have surgery and wake up, who would you like to look like? Hugh Jackman. He's got it all.
Very good actor, too.
But I don't know why it had to be a musical. I would like to hear the story of P.T. Barnum and the Ringling Brothers, but it's a musical.
It is?
It's a musical. And it's the first-time director, too, who hasn't written anything in Hollywood. He hasn't directed anything. This is his first film. It's a December 25th release. That's a big gamble, especially with Hugh Jackman.
And it might be great. Okay, there have been a couple of Wizard of Oz is a musical.
Sure, right?
And that was a great film. And there are a couple, but I didn't realize it until I saw the trailer because I saw the poster and I saw Hugh Jackman. I thought, oh my goodness, this is Pete, the story of P.T. Barnum, the guy who took things nobody ever got to see and let them see them, from freaks and, you know, people with deformities to tigers and elephants, just stuff you never got to see. You could go under the tent and see it all. And then I realized it was a musical, and...
Yeah, musicals we'll just kind of... They really have to be well done, because I wasn't a fan of La La Land. The Oscar-nominated Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone...
I absolutely... Did not like. I didn't like that at all.
It won Best
so
Picture for like 10 seconds, and then they fixed it.
That's ridiculous. And you know what, Hugh Jackman? I want him to be gay. I keep hoping I'll pick up something and read where. Well, he came out as gay. Then I can tell my wife, hey, your boyfriend's gay.
Sorry,
because he's a guy. Yeah, he's the guy who just got it all: talent, looks. He's tall.
Well, he can do so many different things, too. He can play Wolverine. Then he can go play on Broadway.
He's a song and dance man.
Yeah. He can do both those things.
Welcome to my world, fellas.
Well, Dan knows exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. You say, well, why? Because he's a radio star? Oh, no. He's a harmonica player. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. He's a bass player. Oh, he's in a band. He's got it all.
Yeah.
Dan and Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Got it all.
There it is.
So I like him, but I wish I didn't like him. I don't want to like him because he's the whole package.
I will say, Greatest Showman, in the past 2 months, we've gotten, being a film critic, you get a lot of screeners. I haven't gotten a screener for Greatest Showman. That's not a good thing. There hasn't been a screening.
Tell people what a screener is.
Well, when you get into a kind of a group, the St. Louis Film Critics Association, you start getting screeners, DVDs sent to your house. So essentially, I've gotten like DVDs of Lady Bird, Darkest Hour, movies that aren't out in theaters yet, they haven't come out yet, and movies that want to be considered for Oscar time, that they want you to watch these with the award season in mind. So I have not gotten one for The Greatest Showman. That's never a good thing. If you don't want your movie to get watched, it means the studio knows something that they don't want to know, that it's kind of a bomb.
What happened with Gotti? Because Gotti was supposed to come
supposedly
out.
Supposedly, John Travolta
was sold back to somebody.
He has come out and said, well, he was switching. The distributor did drop it, and he was trying to find a new distributor, and he's found one, but there's no date on it. I mean, essentially, it was dropped by Lionsgate. They just probably saw
it. It's already shot. It's done.
Yeah.
The movie's finished.
Yeah, but keep in mind, there's a lot of movies that get finished, and sometimes they're just shelved, because if there's no way, if the screenings, they do test screenings, not for film critics, but for a certain group of people months before it comes out, and if it gets bad reviews at that test screening, they will go back and either edit it, take stuff out, reshoot it, or they will shelve it. And apparently,
okay, so does Lionsgate, this mean that For some reason, the Gotti movie was not well accepted? Is that what this means?
Yeah, it means it was either didn't test well, wasn't well accepted, or was just plain out bad. But due to John Travolta having some power, he's a movie star, it will probably come out on like video on demand. It'll come out, be able to watch it at your home and not in the theaters. But I don't think it's getting a theater run, at least not anytime soon.
I watched the trailer and I watched a few scenes from it, and to me, here's the problem with it. I like John Travolta. I like him a lot. He's been in a lot of stuff I really enjoyed. I didn't buy him as a Shapiro in the O.J. Simpson thing, and I don't think I'd buy him as Gotti, John Gotti. I don't think he was the right guy.
Armand Asante played him in an HBO film one time. He was really good as John Gotti.
But I'm looking at a photo of him on the Deadline.com website, and he does an amazing job of looking like Gotti.
Yeah, yeah.
Hair and the scowl on his face, and they even somehow created with the makeup the pock marks on his face and the caved in left cheek. He looks a lot like him.
I was gonna watch it just because, and here's the funny thing is that the guy from Entourage who played a little bitty guy named E, he directed it. I want to say his name's Kevin Connolly.
Right.
It's his directorial debut. He chose the John Gotti story. So maybe they just didn't like his vision of it. But I would have thought that John Travolta might at least get it watched by a few people. Well, maybe a New York theater run.
I will tell you who wanted to be played by John Travolta was Marlon Brando. He wanted Travolta to play him. And it never happened, of course. Brando passed away. And I interviewed him the day before he died. It's tough for me to talk about now because I realized, you know, he was ill. And I'll play a little bit of the interview. You'll hear me in the background talking to Mr. Brando. And then on mic, you know, with more presence on mic, is the real Marlon Brando. Here, I'll play a little bit of it. Mr. Brando, if anybody in the future is to play you, let's say they did a movie about the making of The Godfather, you as The Godfather, who would you like for that to be?
Well, you know, I think I like a John Travolta. I like for Travolta to play me because he has a tendency to, you know, be able to do different things with his face. You know, when I was in The Godfather, I had to change my look a little bit, make my jowls pooch out a little bit more. I wasn't as fat as I am now and gained all the weight. And I just think Travolta could transform himself into, you know, me, Marlon Brando.
There you go. There's your evidence. Now, when I interviewed him, we had the Godfather music playing in the background. I don't know what happened that he didn't pick that up. The mic must not have picked that up.
No, it didn't.
Normally there's that.
That's right.
Well, I will say, that was Frank, missing. I will say, Frank, you didn't like Logan Lucky. I'm going to give you another Blu-ray to watch. Are you ready for it?
What is it?
It's Wind River with Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth.
I've seen it, and it's fantastic.
Did you see it? It's great.
Yes.
It's
terrific.
It's like one of those mystery thrillers taking place out. Was it Montana? It was out in Montana. They're looking for
way up somewhere where it's cold and a lot of snow, and he's a trapper or something, right? It's really good.
He tracks wildlife, and Elizabeth Olsen plays the FBI agent. They're trying to find the killer of a young girl who is left out in the snow. And I got to say, Taylor Sheridan, the guy who wrote and directed this film, he also wrote Sicario and Hell or High Water, two great movies. There's a good story where this movie had come out. It was completed. But it was going to be released by the Harvey Weinstein Company, and Taylor Sheridan did his. He made an ultimatum to Harvey Weinstein, saying, "I want this movie. I do not want you to release this movie. If you release it, I'm gonna." He had a power to be able to go, "I'm gonna scrap it." So he threatened to basically scrap this movie if Harvey Weinstein wouldn't give it back to him for distribution. So Taylor Sheridan did not want him have his name on it, because of course, like Ridley Scott. I mean, you don't want any assault, harassment charge anywhere near your movie. So Taylor Sheridan threatened to have us not be able, we would have never seen this movie if it wasn't for him, standing up for all those victims and saying, look, I don't want you attached to this movie. But he was attached in the beginning to distribute the movie, but it's great.
My only problem with Wind River is it was difficult for me to watch because I wrote a screenplay similar, and they didn't steal the exact idea, but it was close enough that it upset me. I had written a screenplay called Breaking Wind River, and it was a story of a river that if you walked along the banks and listened, you could hear the sound of breaking wind. I even got Clint Eastwood to read a couple of lines and kind of auditioned for it. I have it if you'd like to hear it.
Sure. Fine, yeah.
All right, this is from Breaking Wind River. You will hear the actual voice of Clint Eastwood in reading the lines I had given him from Breaking Wind River. Well, I don't know what it is I'm hearing, but if you walk along these banks, it sounds like something's coming out of the water. It actually sounds like somebody's breaking wind right here on the river.
I like that.
The movie's still on.
It's still on.
It's still going.
It's the credits.
The river's still rolling.
They found
a killer, but he's still going somewhere.
Well, they said he was dead, but he's still breaking.
I can hear him.
When you're 87, they don't call them farts anymore. They call it chili.
Yeah.
So you gotta be careful.
Chili?
What?
Oh.
Who calls it chili?
Anybody who's 87 that farts, half of them.
87 years old. I cannot believe Clint Eastwood is 87. Right. But then again, you get like Stallone and Arnold reaching about, 70?
Uh-oh.
And they're still making movies.
But we see them at their best. We see them with makeup. We see them in perfect lighting. Take a good look at Clint Eastwood. Go online and Google photos of Clint Eastwood, no makeup.
I don't need any
makeup.
He
looks 87. He looks 87.
Makeup for 30-year-olds.
What's wrong with your voice?
Yeah, what happened to you?
Oh, that was your Mike Shannon.
It's Clint. Yeah.
All right. Do you have anything else?
I do. I want to advise people to skip the new Jumanji film. It's coming out next week. They had to mess with the Robin Williams.
You didn't even
Williams
have to advise
film.
Me of that.
Yeah, so you have Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Kevin Hart, and Jack Black trying to mess with the Robin Williams classic. A great adventure film. I don't know why they're doing this. I love The Rock, but skip it. Comes out, I think, around Christmas time. Go watch The Greatest Showman, even if it's a musical. A musical is better than a bad Jumanji remake.
I didn't even like the original Jumanji.
I got a kick out of it, but I don't know why they're remaking all these movies. Man, the creative power of Hollywood is just down right now. And also, before I leave, Homeland coming back on Showtime on February 11th.
I lost interest when the guy that played the traitor, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Damian Lewis.
When he was killed. Yeah, when he was killed, I was out, because to me, that was Homeland, was his story, and when he was executed, I've never watched it since.
It bounced back.
And I know that Mandy Patinkin is fantastic. By the way, Mandy Patinkin is in Wonder. He is the head of the he's the head of the school or the principal or whatever the title, the headmaster or whatever. Yeah, and is terrific at it. He's a great actor.
He really is.
And I like Claire Danes. Is that the woman in Home Alone?
Yes, yes.
She's tremendous. I just, once they killed off the traitor, I was out.
Can you believe that he was in The Princess Bride many, many years ago? Manny Patinkin.
I never saw The Princess Bride.
Go watch it, and you will not recognize. He is in
his
20s.
Also won't believe that he is he's a Broadway song and dance man. He was in, he got his big break. Was it ER or Chicago? One of those. That's where he got his first real big break. He was in one of those hospital movies, and he's a singer and a dancer. But man, is he a good actor, serious right. actor.
So what Frank was talking about, do you know what the phrase, Dan, jump the shark means?
Yeah.
Frank,
I do.
Okay. So that's what you're saying. Homeland jumped the shark when they killed him off. Is that what you're saying?
He lasted for seasons.
Yeah, they didn't really jump the shark. They just I lost the my focus was on that character, and when that character was killed, it'd be like watching I don't know, pick any show and take the main character out of it. I'm not interested.
It was anymore. And the big thing was last season though they really have. Pivot into a different storyline because they keep making Clara Danes like the victim. Like they now you have a corrupt president in the seventh season, and that's going to be good. And it's funny though when they're designing this latest season, the creators thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win the presidency, right. And then they had to turn back and go, oh, now we have to redo half the season. So this could be a fun season to watch. But I will say there was a couple seasons after Brody died that it was a little bit down, but then they rebounded, though. And again, seven seasons. Not as strong as Shameless, but still a pretty good espionage. Thriller.
Still must-see TV for me,
it
for
is,
sure.
It is, Claire Danes, man. There's something about her that she really is really good as the Carrie Matheson. She's really good. But Manny Patinkin's really good, too. He just sticks around, and there's always a new challenge for him. Either she's overseas or she's back. Last season was in New York. So there's always the terrorism subplot, but that comes back February 11th. I'm loving this season of Shameless, by the way. Every week is a different story, different stuff. Emmy Rossum's fantastic, but
do you guys see what he's doing? See what Dan's doing?
What's that?
He's taking like the entire hour.
Yeah, stretching
his segment. Now we don't have time for Bill Cleveland. We may mind to make Cleveland in here.
Well, guess
he gets
what?
Bumped because of Dan Buffa.
Well, guess what? I've had enough of. I'm Dan Buffa.
Thank you. Dan, we've had enough of Dan Buffa. Brought to you by Window World. The number one selling replacement window in the USA. And you can find out more at windowworldst.louis.com. I don't know if we'll get Mr. Cleveland, and we'll do our best. If not, hopefully go in the Playhouse. Thompson Price is in the kitchen and bath remodeling business, as are lots of people. There are a lot of kitchen and bath remodeling places. Some have come and gone out of business now. Some are... they're fine for people who don't really want it done right or perfectly. They just sort of want to... It's not really a remodel. They just want to paint some cabinets and maybe change the countertop. That's not what they do. They're in the business of completely remodeling kitchens and bathrooms. They did it for us over a period of about 12 years. We started with a kitchen, then we did a bathroom, and then years later we added a master bedroom and bathroom, and I told the contractor that Thompson Price will be in charge of the bathroom. You can do the bedroom, the extension, and the brick on the outside. They will do the bathroom, and they did. And a couple of things that he did in the bathroom that I never intended on doing is he put one of those multi-head showers in there. It's like a car wash. Our shower in the master bathroom, if you open every shower head, 25 gallons a minute is what it gets. It's like a car wash if you really want to get clean. Or you can pick and choose. You can just use the handheld shower or the other handheld or the one big one over here. I love the fact that at some point somebody decided, hey, regular shower heads, we don't have to settle for that. And they did these great big, it looks like a plate with a bunch of holes in it, overhead shower heads. So they did that, and to me they were way ahead of their time because it was years later that I saw other people with showers like that. The other thing they did is I remember Tom Price said, how would you like the tile heated in your master bathroom? And I said, well, that'll have to cost a fortune. He said, no, it'll cost $1,500. The entire bathroom, all of the tile, is heated. There's a rheostat on the wall, and you can turn it up for super, super warm or just sort of toasty warm. It has there's never been a hiccup, no service. It's never gone out. It has lasted for 21 years. It was a terrific idea because tile gets really cold, especially in the winter. You get out of bed, your bare feet, you step on the floor, and it's cold. Not our tile. Nice and warm. And then there's the kitchen, and there's so much we didn't do because we didn't need to do it. They take every individual job and treat it like it's the only job they're going to do. And because this is, they're not going to do another kitchen exactly like the one they're going to do for you. Because this kitchen will have been designed specifically for you and your family. So there's a process they'll put you through, but it's a necessary process. And feel free to talk to other kitchen and bath places. Get some other bids. That's fine. They'd love that. I'd love that. Because then you're going to see the difference in the process, and you'll realize why what they want in the end is exactly what you want in the end, the perfect kitchen or bathroom. Thompson Price Showroom is in De Pere, less than a quarter mile east of 270 on Manchester. ThompsonPrice.com.
It takes four essential ingredients to brew Bud Light: barley, rice, water, and hops. But this is a 30-second commercial, so here's the sound of barley malting. It's super quiet. Sorry. Here's to the beer you can always count on. Brewed to be America's favorite light lager. Bud Light, famous among friends. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly. The VA loan program is one of the best benefits of being in the military. It shouldn't have to be a difficult process to go through. A lot of people shy away from a VA loan because they've heard the horror stories that people have gone through trying to refinance or buy a home. At Hero.Loan, we do all the VA-required paperwork for you and can close your VA mortgage in as little as 14 days. And we'll even pay for the appraisal. For all your VA mortgage needs, apply online today at Hero.Loan, a new way to VA. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
They've invented Boneless Tuesdays. It's a celebration every Tuesday where if you order boneless wings, you'll get another of the same size for free. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, additional restrictions apply. See participating locations for details.
Dan Buffett will be back next Tuesday. I have to put a tighter rein on him. He's trying to take over the whole show, I think.
Whoa, Black Friday, bam a lamb. Whoa, Black Friday, bam a lamb.
Who does that song?
This is Ram Jam by Ram Black Jam. Betty.
Yeah.
No, Black Betty by Ram Jam.
Yeah.
You know what the original song Black Betty was, Frank?
I have no idea.
The original Black Betty was the name of the bat used by Babe Ruth. Black
Get
Betty.
Out.
Babe Ruth used a 44-ounce bat, which I think the heaviest bat used in Major League Baseball now, maybe 34 ounces. Maybe 34. Babe Ruth used this gargantuan tree limb that he called Black Betty back in the day.
Is there a maximum weight in Major League Baseball?
There is not, but you know, why would you want to swing something that you can't get through the strike zone when a fastball's coming down 95 miles an hour? I mean, you got to have a quick bat. A lighter bat is a quicker bat, but Babe Ruth back in the day used a bat that no one even comes close to using, and he called it Black Betty.
Did you see the movie Babe with John Goodman?
Oh, sure.
I liked it, and it got panned, and I've heard that he doesn't even like to talk about it. It's a movie he wished he hadn't done. I don't get it. I saw it, and I thought it was good. I thought he made a good Babe Ruth.
He did, but there was a scene in there that was so stupid and so untrue that it turned me off on the whole movie.
Which one?
Well, there was a scene where John Goodman, portraying Babe Ruth, hit a pop-up that was so high that he circled the bases before the ball came back down to the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just dumb. You know, I mean, that never happened.
And I didn't even realize that. Even I, as little as I know about sports, if I saw that, I'd go, yeah, that's a bit much. Right. I don't know that anybody has ever been able to hit a ball that high. Playhouse is coming up. We're about a minute. Bill Cleveland will be in the Playhouse. So sorry, Bill. We made you wait. But he's been pretty good lately about being pushed back. There's a painting. We'll talk about this in the Playhouse. There's a painting that was sold recently. I just cannot imagine how any painting could be worth this kind of money. And I really have serious doubts as to whether or not some of these paintings by these great, you know, Rembrandt people or Picasso or that Monet, I've seen those paintings, at least pictures of them. they're not that great. I mean, they look a lot like a lot of other paintings to me. I think at some point somebody has decided, well, now this is going to be worth a fortune, so because they said so, it's worth a fortune. We'll tell you what that painting sold for. Tell you why you almost, if you're going to be flying for Christmas, almost didn't have a pilot, a lot of you. They figured out a way to fix the problem, but there were a lot of planes guys sitting around without pilots in them. And Dan will like this because Dan used to be an assistant manager at Sambo's restaurant. There's a guy who went into a particular restaurant chain, and everybody working there was asleep, so he just made his own meal.
Oh, I know this story. It's great.
It's a great story.
I know.
And they offered him a job. He must have done a pretty good job. So that's coming up. And, of course, the joke. It